This episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club is brought to you by our Patreon members of the Trophy Talk Network. Your support really means a lot to us, so this is a special thank you shout out to Jordan Vickers, Against Me, First Mage, Diego Juan, King K6969, Gary Cooper, and Pat the Trophy Hunter. If you're interested in supporting this show as well as the other Trophy Talk Network shows like the Trophy Talk Podcast, the Moogle Cast, and Surviving the Horror, go to patreon.com/trophytalknetwork. And for now, enjoy the show. What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I am your host, Kevin Garaventa, a.k.a. the Portland Kevin, and this is a show where we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus library and break it down for your entertainment, information, and amusement. Today, we are talking about the little indie darling, the Untitled Goose Game. And yes, that is the actual title. It was developed by House House in Melbourne, Australia, and published by Panic Incorporated, released in December of 2019, and in it you play as a goose wandering a small neighborhood and causing trouble for its residents, usually while trying not to get caught or seen doing it. In 2020, House House's creation won the Game of the Year Award at the 2020 Game Developers Conference and the Dice Game of the Year Award, among many others. After finally playing it myself, I understand why. So joining me today to talk about the Untitled Goose Game is, first, a Game Club regular, Jordan Vickers. Welcome back. How you doing, sir?
His bum fell on the tomato. I'm good. How's everyone else doing?
I'm doing okay. I have no idea what you're talking about or what you said.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Okay. So then we also have a fellow host in the Trophy Talk Network, Zach Ellery. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, it's good to be back on the Game Club, Kevin. Thanks for having me back on. Yeah, as you're probably aware, from if you heard the megacast we did not that long ago, a big fan of this game, so very happy to be here to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. And we were going to have another person on here, but unfortunately they had to bow out of that. But I'm glad to have both of you guys here to talk about the Untitled Goose Game, because I wasn't convinced that I had wanted to play this when it was recommended to me. And then all three of you, including the other person that's not here, suggested that we play this game. And I'm so glad that you guys did, because I had a blast with this one. So before we start talking about it, though, I do want to give you guys a chance to talk about projects that you're working on right now. Zach, you're a co-host of the Moogle Cast, which is also part of the Trophy Talk Network. What's happening in the Moogle Cast lately?
People don't know, we're just a podcast about all kinds of games, all gaming, different topics. So we get different guests on to talk about things. And currently, we just did an episode on the best boss fights in video games, and I know we've got one coming up shortly about music in games, because these things are very important. But yeah, that's what's happening in Moogle Cast. And then I've got a side project I'm doing at the moment, which is a backlog project about hunting specific trophies in games, which happen to be the end of the story for each of those games. So I'm kind of working on that, and I'll be putting progress of that up on the Discord as well.
As in, like, that's the final story trophy in the game, or... like, that's the last trophy you want to earn in that game.
So basically, there's so many games in my backlog that are long. They're really long hunts, but I really want to get through the story so I know what happens in them, because I feel like that's an important first step in games, is to know what happens in the game. So yeah, I'm setting myself the task of going through the stories of these games and finishing them so I know what I'm talking about.
That's great, because I always encourage people to play the game first and not worry about the trophies, and that's the most important thing. So that's a very noble cause. I respect that. But if you enjoy this episode and want to hear more like it, please like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps us show up in recommended feeds and algorithms for other listeners. This show is part of the Trophy Talk Network, and that includes other excellent shows like the Trophy Talk Podcast, the Moogle Cast, like we were talking about, and Surviving the Horror. If you want to be part of any of these shows or this one, you can join the Trophy Talk Discord and also subscribe to the Trophy Talk Network on Patreon. I was recently on the Dead Space 2 episode of Surviving the Horror, and highly recommend people go check that out, as well as any other episode in that series. It was a ton of fun to record with Josh and Colin and talk all things Dead Space 2, and really reminisce about my hard to the core run for that particular game and earning that trophy. That was such a good episode. Highly recommend that. Before we start talking about the Untitled Goose Game, though, I do want to take a minute to have some platinum shout outs from the Trophy Talk Discord. This is our way of saying thank you for playing along with us. This also gives you the chance to write into the show, ask a question, or just make a comment or whatever without having to subscribe to the Patreon. If you play along with us, then feel free to talk about the game with us as well. And here's your chance. However, Josh, aka Slugger JD in the Discord, just wrote, "One plat shout out, please," and also included the Oliver GIF holding up a bowl. "I want some more, please." So congrats, Josh, for earning the platinum there. Lorenzo Lame just said, "Honk." The trophy talk description, or the trophy description of this game, says honk. So thank you. KingK6969 just sent in the screenshot, but congrats. Thank you for playing. And then Fate Prime just said, "Peace was never an option." Very good one. And Fate Prime, congrats on the 2-in-a-row plat streak. So Fate Prime has earned the second 1-in-a-row. So congratulations there. But let's actually start discussing this game. It is extremely special. You're playing as this goose, and you run around, cause mischief. You steal things from someone's backyard, or like flick a switch somewhere, and it causes chaos or mayhem somewhere else. That is just like part of the shenanigans of this game. And I try and explain this game as sort of like a non-violent stealth game where you have to sneak around and do stuff and not get caught. That's just like an overview that I try to describe to like my mother-in-law about like, what am I playing this week? How would you describe this game, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, it's the sentence I have is basically like, you control a mischievous goose as it makes its way through a small village, and it has different agendas. It has things it wants. It has people it wants to annoy, and you're just holding it while it does that. That's basically how I'll describe it.
Jordan, how about you? Like, just what's your first impression of this game?
That goose is from hell. it's almost like you're playing like season one, season two of Bart Simpson, just running through a just running through a damn village and just causing as much hell and havoc as you possibly can.
you're really a nuisance to the whole neighborhood, and you're causing a lot of trouble for the people here. So, I thought this game was hilarious after just a few minutes. And I'm really glad you guys encouraged me to play it and then talk about it here. Also, a little behind the scenes stuff. It was part of the March vote for what game we were going to be playing, and it tied with another with two other games. And I think, Zach, you decided, like, let's talk about it because you really wanted to give it a fair shake, and mm-hmm. you really wanted to talk about it. So I'm glad you insisted that we do. But this one came really close to us talking about it back in March, and you know, I can see that, like, it is something very special. As far as the presentation goes, it has a very simple graphical style. Like, it is cartoon-like in a sense, but also it is sort of almost like low poly. Like, it looks like it should be able to run on almost anything. And in that sense, like, it really kind of endears it as well as something that is just meant to be enjoyed and you're meant to have fun. It is not serious at all. Do you get the kind of like sense from it as well?
Oh yeah. It's like a very simple painting in a way. It's kind of the best way to describe the style.
It definitely feels like a piece of art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it looks kind of like one of those older point-and-click games. Like, if you imagine back on the PC, like, some of the earlier point-and-click games were quite simple. There wasn't a lot of detail. Like, the grass is just a flat green. The road is just a flat gray. There's no textures on a lot of surfaces. But it just makes it easier to look at. And it kind of really helps to pick up on what things you are able to interact with and what things you aren't. So it's quite effective.
Yeah, yeah. And it also, it just kind of retains this sort of timeless look to it. Like, it's never going to age poorly, I think, as far as the graphics go. And that really does make it special. It's similar to, like, the pixelated style that games go for now, where, like we talked about in Celeste, where it has a very, like, Super Nintendo look to it. Like, this has a very much, like, an old, as you described it, point and click kind of adventure game that came out of the early aughts. And I don't think it will ever look old. Like, it will always look like it is something that is just low budget, but in the best way. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I love about it. Another thing that I love is the music, and the music in this is sporadic. And that's an understatement. I feel like it is just a simple piano, right? That just comes in every once in a while, but only when you are spotted by somebody and they are starting to chase you.
Yeah. When you put all those elements together, when I was finishing it up today, I was kind of like, this is the game PBS would make. And if you don't know what PBS is, it's where our version of Sesame Street runs on. It's the public network.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for filling me in.
Yeah. Yeah. However, I don't think PBS or Sesame Street would allow this kind of mischief to happen. And
have you met Bert and Ernie?
Those guys are wild.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen Sesame Street in a very long time. Maybe things have changed.
It's weird. Just to go off this weird side tangent real quick, someone like put a stream of old Bert and Ernie stuff, and I went, this shit's hilarious. I can't believe I missed this as like a toddler. Like, this, they make jokes for adults. It's great.
Now I'm going to have to go YouTube some of that. Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. But Zach, like, what is you? Like, how do you feel about the music in this game? Because it does, it in fact becomes its own character.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like, it builds tension really well. Like, you think you're being quite mischievous, quite quiet, quite sneaky, and then you'll hear, like, really sharp piano notes being played, and you're like, oh, someone's onto me, or sometimes you're trying to carry an item, and someone's trying to chase you to get it back, and the music's going really intense, and somehow you get quite, like, worked up. Like, it does a really good job of building tension when you're playing, and also helps you, like I, my wife was talking to me when I was playing this, and there wasn't any music playing. And I, for some reason, was just whispering back to her when she was talking to me because it felt like it was quite intense and that someone might hear me if I talk loud. But I think it's quite smart. Like normal games that have music playing all the time, it kind of just becomes kind of part of the environment. It's just there. But whereas this, it, yeah, like you said, it becomes a character where you're trying to like, I don't want that guy to come back, the music guy. I want him to stay away so I'll be sneaky and quiet. And then if it does come, yeah, it does get you quite excited and worked up.
I want to talk to you guys about all of the different areas that you go through. And there are four in this game that you can play around in. And they're all almost like miniature playgrounds. And when you enter this area, the game gives you a checklist of things to do. And most of these things are very mischievous. They're not outright malicious to anyone most of the time. Mm-hmm. But they do have you do various things that would definitely annoy a lot of people that are just trying to go about their business in whatever area this is. So the first one that you come upon is the garden. And there's a gardener who's tending this area. And you have to like do certain things like figure out a way to get the gardener wet. Figure out a way to gather up all these items onto a picnic blanket and have a picnic. And that includes stealing vegetables from the garden. There's, what's the other one? There's like, take the rake and throw it in the lake.
Get him to wear the sun hat.
Yes, get him to wear a sun hat. But to do that, you have to find a way to steal his hat and then make it so he can't retrieve it. What were like some of your favorite moments in the garden area?
I would say definitely get the gardener wet. The ones where you really fuck with him are kind of the best puzzles because they're the most hilarious. And each area, like you said, that there's one list on every area where you got to gather up a bunch of items and put them somewhere.
Yeah.
I would say since it's the first time you do it, I think the gardening was the hardest time I had with that specific one. For this one, you got to grab a picnic basket and then take items bit by bit. But the problem is he'll start noticing things go missing and he'll start looking for them. And if he finds the basket, he'll take them back one by one, and you kind of have to hide the basket all over again and start from scratch.
Okay, so like the picnic basket task was almost always like when I was going for the speed run, that was almost always the first thing I did. But I would do it so that he would not know that I was putting that stuff there, and I would save the radio for the very last thing. And the radio is the thing that's going to get his attention. That's one thing that I noticed. This game is excellent in demonstrating sort of this underlying programming language that occurs between the different NPCs and like their environment or each other. And you can really see that when they start to interact with certain things. So like, if you somehow move the radio, that will get his attention and he'll just go get the radio wherever it is. If you just knock it over and don't take it to the picnic blanket, he will just take it back to the tool shed. So you have to be mindful of the order of things that you're doing, because then you can figure out like, okay, well, what's the fastest that I can do things to get this speedrun trophy that is like 6 minutes or less, like whatever you do everything in 6 minutes. That's something that I found fascinating that I thought became much more apparent later on in some of the later areas. But this particular one, yeah, the gardener himself, just like how he reacts to the goose and the things you do, is that's starting like a baseline for your understanding of how to, in a sense, fuck with people. But, you know, Zach, like what was one of your favorite moments from the gardener?
Yep. My favorite one was probably the one I mentioned before, which was to make him wear his sun hat. So he's wearing like a really small red hat. I don't know what it's called, but whatever. Those small hats that people wear. And the way you get him to take it off or to grab it off him is he's got like a prized rose that's sitting by itself in this garden. And if you just pull it out of the ground and then drop it and then honk a few times, he'll come over and see it. And he'll just have to plant it back in the ground. So he'll go and he'll like crouch down and plant it back in, and you can pluck his hat off and run. The first time I ran out of the garden with the hat and put it in the river or the whatever, like the little lake thing that's right next to you. But he just walked into there and grabbed it. And I was like, oh, he can go in the lake. I didn't know he could go into the lake. Yeah. He just went in and grabbed it. And so the next time I did the same thing, but I hid it in the bush that was on the other side of the garden and he couldn't find it. And then, put the hat on. It was just fun to be like, you think you've got an idea and the game goes, oh, no, we've thought of that. He will just walk in there and grab it. He can swim. He's a person. Yeah. He can just see it floating there and walk in and grab it. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And, you know, that does cover the task of get the gardener wet. But
it does. Yeah.
I never tried to force him into the lake or in the river. I almost always use the sprinkler in some way.
Yeah.
But that task of doing this multi-step thing so that you know that he's going to wear the sun hat was that was like one of the more complex puzzles in this area. But just figuring out that step-by-step process was fascinating, because you can then see this like cause and effect the cause and effect process of solving these puzzles is the key to this game. So yeah, you steal the tulip and then drop it somewhere. He finds it. He has to replant it. That's when he crouches down and you can steal his hat, or you can steal his keys. And that's the quick way to steal his keys, which is another task. So then like there's other things that you can do that will then open up new tasks for you to do. Like he will then like get frustrated with you and he'll start to hammer a sign into the corner of the garden that has a no goose, like a no goose symbol on it. And if you honk at the right time while he's hammering, you'll make him hammer his thumb. And he falls over and knocks the gate open, which will then lead to the next area.
Yeah. Once when you do like 5 out of the 6 things, it gives you a brand new one thing task. And that one last thing is what opens up the new area. Mm-hmm. One thing we kind of forgot to mention, the physics of this game are kind of what you think. When we say you take an object, you grab it with your mouth, and some things are really big and heavy. So the goose is just dragging it across the floor, like a giant pumpkin, for example. And that when you're moving slower and more awkwardly, you're more likely to get caught, and you can run, but running's a little tricky because your steering's kind of off.
Steering. Yeah.
In a sense, like, you know, it's hitting the gas and you're not going to turn as sharply when you're running really fast. But yeah, the stealing the pumpkin thing was very funny, because that pumpkin is part of the picnic. It has to go on the picnic blanket. And like when the goose takes it, it's not able to carry the pumpkin. It just rolls along with your goose's neck, and you just kind of walk sideways out the garden gate to the picnic. That made me chuckle every time I did that. But
it should also be noted that whenever someone like finds the thing that you've taken from them, and they always put it back. So none of the puzzles are like, you can't mess any of them up permanently. They're always reset. So it's always good to just have, you can try something and not be worried about, oh, I'm going to ruin this level or, you know, whatever. It's always going to reset back to where it was.
Yeah.
There is one puzzle that you can kind of screw up with, but you can always reset. if you reset the entire thing, but that ain't until the last area of the.
Oh yes, true.
Yeah. And that's kind of the another piece of the magic of this game is that like somehow things can happen that you definitely were not intending, and occasionally they just might like break down in your favor, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that kind of helps. Where at one point, like I ended up just taking one of the carrots out of the garden and dropping it somewhere in the grass, like outside in the front yard. And the gardener saw that and left. And because he left the garden, that was my chance to steal his coffee thermos, steal his jam, and the tulip that he was trying to just tend. So that made me realize, like, oh, I can really manipulate this stuff. And this is where the fun comes in, is really toying with people and toying with the programming that that each of these characters have to break the rules of the game. So
yes, deception is definitely an item in Bat Goose's utility belt.
It's so much fun to just grab something and then honk at somebody and taunt them with it, which you can. That's definitely an element in the second area. So the gardener falls down after he smacks his thumb with a hammer and he knocks the gate open. That's how you get to the second area, High Street. High Street has a kid kicking around a soccer ball, and it has what looks like an electronics store with a bunch of TV screens, and then an outdoor market that it is tended by one person. And I guess there's like just stuff there for anyone to buy. Like they just walk up and they buy something from her. So this is the first area that has multiple characters, and these characters can interact with each other in various ways. And then
this is where the goose goes really dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as the goose, one of your tasks is to lock or trap the kid in the phone booth, and you trap this kid in, like, seriously, like this is where you really turn into a bully. And also, like, this is, I think this was the area that my wife and I played together. So there is 2-player co-op that you can play in this game. And we both sat down on the couch and we're like, yeah, let's play it together. As soon as she got control of her goose, she started to chase this kid and honk at him incessantly.
The power.
And I said, what the hell are you doing? She goes, I never get to be the bully. This is great. But you have to, like, this is the multi-level puzzle stuff that it gets really dark, as you said, where you chase this kid into the phone booth and he gets trapped in there. And this was like one of two of my favorites of this area, because I have two favorites. But you chase the kid into the phone booth, and then he calls the woman in the electronics store, and she comes out and gets him out of the phone booth. And at the same time, you can run into the store and hit a button on something and get yourself on all the TV screens as the goose. I thought that was really funny. Just because, like, the goose's face is right up in front of the camera. So it's got this wide-angle lens shot, and it's just really funny. Zach, like, what was your favorite area or favorite thing to do in High Street?
Yeah, mine's probably a tie between two different ones. They were both what I would say is probably the two most evil ones. So one of them is to make the kid wear the wrong glasses.
Oh, yeah. So that's mean. That's so mean.
What you do is you basically... you run past him and you untie his shoes as you're running past him. And then he trips over. And while he's on the ground, you steal his glasses. And then you go steal some glasses from the store and put them in front of him while he's blindly feeling around for his glasses. And he puts the wrong glasses on. The other one is there's a toy plane that's sitting on the bench next to the kid.
Yes.
And it's his.
Yes.
You take it and you put it on the shelf in the store. And then you scare him towards that and he'll see it. He'll go and grab it. And when he tries to leave, the woman will, like, argue with him and say, no, no, this is part of my store. You have to pay for this. And the kid has to buy back his toy. Those two, you feel really evil, but they're hilarious.
It's horrible, horrible. I remember I was playing that, and I was explaining to Carrie, sitting on the couch, she was watching what I was doing, and I explained, this is one of the tasks, and she laughed so hard that she could barely breathe. Like, this got a huge laugh from her, because I said, oh, I'm going to make the kid buy back his own toy. And you just, like, watch them. There's no dialogue. Like, there's no actual spoken dialogue. It's just gibberish, like in The Sims. But he takes it, tries to walk away, and she, like, comes over and starts to yell at him. And then he like, reluctantly gives her a couple of dollars for this toy plane. That was something that I was like, this is so evil, but so brilliant. I love this. And then I went and I baited the shopkeeper to go into the garage, and I trapped her in there, and I stole some other stuff from her store. Jordan, like, did we cover one of your favorites yet?
Oh yeah.
This area.
Fucking with this kid is half the list on here, and it's so good. And I think the only thing we're missing is, like, you another gather the items bit, which,
yeah,
that one actually pissed me off, because all the items you think are in the shop area, well, there's one in the garbage can, and you have no way of knowing that.
Oh, of course not. I figured out that I just need to drag the shopping cart so far away that the shopkeeper will never see it.
Yeah, you just put it in the area by the bin, and then she'll never go in there.
Somehow, I think it's because when you trap her in the garage, she will go out another door from the garage, mm-hmm. and then come through a gate that you can then go through, because she leaves that one open. So, like, you go back, you go behind the house, and that takes you to the back garden area, where there are two townhouses that have backyards that both have two neighbors that are just hanging out in this back area. One of them is just minding his own business, reading his newspaper and sipping some tea. And the other is she's an artist who is working on a painting in her back garden that is, and the painting is for it's of a vase that she's working on. And as this goose, you break into this guy's backyard by picking off some of the loose boards that are up against his fence. So you destroy part of his house. And then you start to really mess with his day while he's just trying to relax. And this one, I felt like when I was going for the speed run stuff, this one really taught me a lot of cause and effect results from my own actions, where I would make something happen and the neighbors would then interact with each other in certain ways. And so when I was thinking about how do I do all of this in 6 minutes, I need to specifically do certain things last, or I need to do certain things while the other neighbor is doing something else, so I can maximize not just my time, but their time as well. I found that fascinating. Jordan, let's start with you this time. Do you have a favorite shenanigan for the back gardens?
So there's two that I really like. One is make him spit out his tea, and there's a giant bell behind him, and you just have to wait until he's sipping his tea and you ring the giant bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. My other one is just probably the cutest moment in the entire damn game.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So there's a duck statue in the artist one. You hide the duck statue, and the duck statue has a ribbon around its neck, and you take off the ribbon, and you can't have the artist look at you, period, when you do this. Otherwise, she'll know something's up. But you hide the duck statue, put the ribbon within vicinity, and you pose as the statue, and she'll put the ribbon on, not realizing you're not the statue.
And then, if like my favorite part about that whole thing is then if you honk, she'll just like jump back and get startled. And you're like, oh my God. When?
I should have done that. I didn't think about that.
That's very funny. But like she can see it. If she sees you either steal the duck statue or sees you get into place to replace it, she will get like the angry symbol above her head and just come over and like shoo you away from the area. But yeah, like figuring out how to wear the ribbon was a great puzzle. Like it made me chuckle just because this is kind of adorable, a little bit mischievous, but very cute. Zach, how about you? Like favorite garden moment?
Yeah, so this like these levels, they've made them in such a way that you get like a nice evolution of the goose. The first one, he's a playful goose. He's playing with people's rakes and playing with the vegetables. The second one, he's being a dick to a person. And now the third level, this level, he's making people be dicks to each other, which is interesting. Yes. He's becoming more of an overlord. So there's one task where that vase that she's painting, if you steal it and go back over to the old man's house and leave it in front of him, he'll just toss it over the fence, which smashes it, which is hilarious.
He tosses anything over the fence. And
yeah,
so
it's
like,
true.
I was just like, oh, well, I'll just steal everything and bring it over here. And he picked up that vase and just threw it over the fence and it breaks. And I was just like, and the task says, oh, task completed. Like, make somebody break the vase. I was like, shit. Like, he actually threw the thing. Oh my God.
It is all right though, because she does get him back. So, with the bonus task at the end, he's got like a prized rose. This is actually the prized rose that is like a plant box. And you can drag it. And so it's right behind a hedge in her yard. And then you go to her hedge and you just pick at it. And it makes it a bit, you know, not shapely. And she wants to prune it up. So she gets her shears and she cuts the head of the rose off. And you finish that task too.
Just by accident. Like, she didn't mean to. You can tell. So she kind of gasps like, oh, no, what did I do? And then hides the shears behind her back. And this and the vase incident will get them to start yelling at each other. And if you haven't completed all the other tasks in under 6 minutes, then them yelling at each other is going to waste a lot of time. So you have to figure out, how do I complete everything else before I get them to fight? And there's those two actions, cutting the rose, breaking the vase. And then if you ring the bell, he's going to get up and yell at her and be angry. So there's a lot that you have to figure out how to do and like get set up while they're fighting, because you know you can't just have those three things be the last three things. You have to, again, maximize not just your time but their time and work around what their typical actions and reactions are going to be. This is the like the programming magic that lies underneath the whole game. And yeah, like my favorite was getting him to break the vase and figuring that out. Another favorite was getting the artist to dress up the bust that is in her back garden. And that one, like, you have to steal a bunch of things that are on the old man's table. So you have to steal this hat. You have to steal a pipe. You have to steal some glasses. And I love the way the goose just walks around holding the pipe as if he's been smoking it. And again, like, that made Carrie laugh pretty hard when I just walk over as the goose, pick up the pipe and walk away as if I'm a detective and just walking around with the pipe. That one I loved. And then like you figure out how to get the artist to like dress up this bust using those stolen items. And if the old guy sees you steal any of these things, he's going to chase after you. What's even harder, though, is that if you've also brought some of the stuff, some of the laundry from the artist's yard to then throw in the fountain that he has to complete the do the laundry task, he'll see all that stuff and just throw it back into her yard because he throws everything that doesn't belong in the yard. So if he sees the socks, if he sees her bra, if he sees the soap, he'll throw it all. And if he happens to see you steal something from his table, then he will follow you and find that stuff in the fountain. So you have to be really careful with what you're doing. And this one made me very aware of who is watching me and when. There is also the task of make the old man go barefoot. So you have to steal both of his slippers. And he is obviously going to know that you've stolen a slipper. But one of my favorite moments is when you steal the one while he's reading his newspaper. You can steal one while he's reading the newspaper. You can steal the other one while he's sipping his tea. And it's because of the way, the direction that his head is looking in each action. But one of my favorites is when you steal it while he's reading his newspaper. He doesn't realize that you've stolen his slipper until like he's put his newspaper down. So you can walk away with it and he doesn't know a thing. What were you going to say, Zach? Like, I love this.
I was just going to say, the thing that people should realize is that these are two different backyards and there's a fence between them.
Yeah.
On one end of the fence, you pick this little tie and part of the fence falls over into the artist's yard and you go through. And she'll see that fence and she'll mend it and like put the tie back on. So you also have to constantly juggle having the option to go between by managing where they are and dropping that fence to go through and then getting back and then doing it again and making sure you don't get stuck waiting for people to move so you can move between the backyards. So it is quite good in terms of, like you said, controlling where people will go by putting certain things that aren't what you want, but they want it in a place that you can move them around so you can have free movement. So it's done really, really smartly, and it makes you feel quite, when you get that speedrun trophy, you feel pretty like clever because you have to be manipulating people quite a lot. And like you said, with the timings of when they're angry, when they're arguing with each other, and also where they're moving, it's a lot to kind of juggle.
I also forgot to mention that getting through that fence, it's a one-way trip most of the time. As long as she doesn't see that there's a hole in the fence, she won't come over and put that panel back up. So you can take things back over to the other side, but that's a relatively two-way street as long as she doesn't know there's a hole there. The other side of, like, once that piece of the fence is back up, you can't go back over and you have to find another way over. Your other way over is definitively a one-way trip, and you're back in the old man's garden once you do this. But how to do it is, she's got this stack of boards that has made sort of like this makeshift sort of like cabinet. And as the goose, if you like take your beak and or your bill and you pull out just the one of the drawers, the whole thing collapses and becomes a ramp for you to walk up the wreckage of this thing over the fence and then back into the old man's yard. But again, you're just causing havoc for this woman, and she sees you do it, and there's just nothing that she does because there is, like, she's just like, oh well, the goose just toppled everything on this thing. What am I going to do? But that is your like makeshift one way ticket back to the other garden. And that, again, it creates like this added puzzle element of, you can only go from one garden to the other at opposing ends of it. How do you figure out how to get stuff from not just over the fence, but also back and forth from one end of each garden? Fascinating stuff.
We talk about how you do a bonus task and then like the guy falls into the gate or the other woman gets locked in the garage and opens the gate. There aren't any loading screens between these places, and that'll come up later. But they, you know, when you walk between the levels, they're already there. You just are walking down the street to the next place, and there's no cutting, there's no loading. It also makes it feel like one moment. You know, the whole game feels like one moment in time, which is really, really cool as well.
Yeah. And it does also help that like this game is really short, so you could finish it in a sitting or two and just have some fun with it. Also, like between these areas, as you're walking, you might discover a shortcut that will take you back to one of the previous areas. So it's not really like a Metroidvania in a sense, but it does open itself up the more you play it. And so, like, you might come around to a shortcut that takes you back to High Street or back to the first garden that you were in, which is really cool. The transition from the back garden area to the fourth area, though, I thought was pretty funny because as this goose, you then wander in through someone's back door into their house. And it doesn't show you the interior of the building, but it just pans around the exterior and you hear a bunch of things crashing and the goose honking, and they just get kicked out the front door. And if you happen to be carrying anything, that comes as well. So I happened to be carrying something. I forget what it was, but I was just trying to take something from the back garden area to the next area to see if I could. And the goose gets kicked out the front door, and then whoever it was threw the item with it. I think it was the pipe. So that was pretty funny. And for some reason, like, you can take the mail and the packages that are on front doorsteps in this area. Doesn't do you anything. There's no task for it. But it's just stuff there for you to mess around with. Then as you like go down the street, Jordan, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, yeah, I saw the package and I immediately went, I'm going to put in the next door.
Yeah.
And then I saw the next door and like, they have mail in the slot. I'm going to take that. There's again, nothing on the list that says to do that. I just fucking did it.
Became the goose.
Yeah. Be one with the goose. The last area is the pub, and this is like one of the more like stealthy kind of areas where you have to figure out how to sneak into this outdoor patio area for this restaurant, and then start to mess with people. And the guy at the front door, like the front gate, will shoo you away if he sees you. So you have to figure out how to sneak in. So Metal Gear Solid style, you find a box that a delivery guy is taking, like it is near the delivery guy, and you jump in the box and they will pick up the box and then carry you into the restaurant. and this kicks off just like some of the funniest moments that I thought were in the game. Jordan, what was one of your favorite things to do in the pub area?
My favorite thing, and I referenced this at the beginning of the episode, is the final challenge where you put the bucket on the guy's head and he will fall on his ass onto the tomatoes and it's just smeared all over his pants.
Just like it looks like he fell in red paint. And he's like, but that was a really funny task. Also, getting the two women that are sitting there like talking at a picnic table to award you a flower. I thought that was very funny. Cause like, you know, you get up on like this rock and just stand there and they're like, oh yeah, like a goose, like. And they motion for you to say something. So if you honk, they're like, oh yeah. And they give you applause. They clap. And that's just like the first thing. So you kind of have to mimic their movements, which I thought was a fun puzzle. And then stealing the old guy's harmonica, I thought was great, because then when you honk, it sounds like a harmonica. And again, yeah, really funny. Zach, what about you? Like, what was your favorite in this area?
Yeah, this area was really fun because, like we were talking about in the shop area on High Street, if you go into that shop, that lady will always like get her broom and push you out. Like, you don't get a choice. Like, usually characters in this game, they just let you walk around until you do something bad and then they stop you. But that woman always pushes you out. And it's the same with the bouncer guy with the pub. If he sees you anywhere in the pub, he will run to you and push you all the way out of the pub. So you have to get back in through the box. So it was really fun to have that kind of dynamic of, you know, you're going to get chased out if you get found. My favorite one was probably, I really liked the getting the toy boat. So in the pub, there was like an upstairs dining area, and at the back of that, there was like a laundry sink and some other things. And inside the laundry sink was a little toy boat, and you had to run over there and turn the water on. And so the sink slowly filled up with water until it got to the top, and then you could grab the boat off the water and run away with it. But the woman, she would always hear the water running, and so you had to kind of manipulate her or just piss her off, basically, to keep her attention until their water filled up, and then run. And it was really fun to, like, I think, because I've done this game, when I first played it, it was back in, I think it was 2020, and I played it again like a couple of days ago for this, just to remind myself. And I was like, I don't think I'll be really stealthy or slow. I'll try to do things really fast and just, you know, be a bit like a bit of a daredevil. And so when I did this, I was just honking, running around like through the underneath the tables, like being an absolute nuisance, instead of the first time where I was strategically putting things down and trying to manipulate people that way. I was just trying to be an absolute terror. And it was quite fun to just run around in that restaurant. And the guy was up there running around too, because I was honking. So he came up and I was trying to dodge these two people. And then I had to grab the boat and run away with it, run under the tables. And it was, a lot of fun.
That was a great one. Yeah. This whole area, though, like this last area, it does get like, it gets my stealth fix in, where you have to avoid a lot more people from just seeing you. If they see you in other areas, they're just kind of like, oh, whatever, it's a goose walking around in my backyard. Here, it's like, oh, this goose is not supposed to be here. We got to get it out.
That goose is not 21. He is not allowed in the pub.
But then you can move on from this fourth area to a fifth and final area that is not a full-fledged a playground like these other places were. Rather, this is just a miniature model of the whole town. And as a regular-sized goose, you wander through this model, knocking all sorts of shit over and being, again, a nuisance, but to this model, a giant nuisance. And the task list for it is just one thing, and it says, steal the church bell. And this thing, like, there's a large church in the center of this model town, and you make your way through this maze and like pass all the miniature versions of the places you've been. You peck away at the tower, the bell tower for this church, and it topples over, and you can pick up the bell in your bill and carry it away. But this is the final challenge, because as soon as you pick it up and steal the bell, a new list item pops up and it just says, and take it all the way home. So you have to take the church bell that it's like the size of a tennis ball, and you have to take it all the way home to where you started the game, before the garden area. And by this time I knew the geography well enough where I was thinking like, oh, okay, well that's not that far, because I've unlocked a bunch of shortcuts. The garden is just around the corner. I can just take this pathway and it'll take me right back there. But no, the gates that you've unlocked earlier are now shut and they have padlocks on them. Brilliant idea. Because now, as the goose, you have to take the bell all the way through all of the other areas you've been in, and you have to go through them backwards and pass everyone that is in them. And everyone knows that you are not supposed to have this bell. And whenever you run, it rings. So they're going to know that you're coming. You're going to get their attention if you run. And if they see you, you're going to get their attention. So this is the final stealth challenge of the game. And man, like, I can't believe they did this. It is fantastic. Zach, like, what did you think of this like final challenge?
So yeah, this is where that kind of go wild, go goose strategy went for me. So I was playing this and it was about time to go to sleep. So I thought, I'm just going to run the whole way. The bell rang the whole way. Everyone sprinting after me trying to get the bell. I managed to get back without anyone taking it, but it was close. the thing I should add, I know from the previous time I played this, if someone does get the bell off you, they won't take it back to where the church was. They'll just put it somewhere in their area. So you don't ever lose, like, lots of progress with the bell. You can only ever be inside the area you're in. But yeah, when I did it this time, I was just sprinting, flapping my wings, honking, like just being an absolute nuisance with the bell, and succeeded in getting back. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Jordan, how about you?
Yeah, I mostly walked because I realized if you run, it rings the bell, it alerts him. I only ran once when I was spotted. And once when I was spotted, it's like, go. And you make it all the way back. And once when you're in the area of the high street, you have three people who are ready to pounce on you. And you're like, wow, now you gain a set of balls, dude. Like, I was tormenting you earlier. But now you have no problem coming after me, don't you? Yeah.
So, the kid wants that bell. He really wants that bell.
It's like playing football and like just trying to get past everyone. Just
God. Even like this final challenge. I was like, this is brilliant. This is an excellent way to end the game. And well, then
what I was going to say real quick is like throughout the game, it doesn't happen often, but you do hear a church bell. And I like how it all ties to this in the end. Because the church bell is really loud, it's really obvious, but it doesn't do anything. No. And it kind of just lingers in the back of your mind. And you're like, oh, okay. This is a really cool way to bring it all back around.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the bell is the timing for the speed run, right? If the bell goes, you don't get the speed run trophy. Yeah.
It is. Like, you have to, there are four speed run trophies, one for each area, and they all say just finish the checklist before the church bells ring. And it's always 6 minutes. So it's that's where, like, kind of the strategy and the puzzle elements come into it. But that's what the church bells are when you hear it. And as a reminder, like, you're stealing the model church bell. It's not the actual church bell, but still, it's kind of like, it's a great way to remind you, like, oh yes, there was a church in this town, and the programmers put it there for a reason, because like you're not wandering around the church itself. You're going to wander up to the model church and steal that bell. So it makes sense that there are church bells that you can hear in the neighborhood. But when you do eventually get past everybody and get through all of these areas in reverse, you make it back to the starting area that you were in before the garden and drop the bell into a pit that has like 10 church bells in it. So that moment of where you see what you've done as a goose is like, oh, this is like the 10th time the goose has wreaked havoc through the town and stolen the church bell. You know, this is not a new thing for this. And the town, I'm sure, knows about the goose problem that they have. I was shocked when it won the Game of the Year award in a lot of places. For example, in GDC 2020. Why do you think that is? Like, why did a bunch of game developers award this their Game of the Year?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head a lot when you talked about the programming language of the AI.
Yeah.
People who work on video games see a totally different language than like what most of us do. And they saw that, and I think that was a big part of it. Back in the day, because this is actually the first time I ever played this. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I literally thought it won a bunch of awards just because of it, how different it was, and that was really it. They're like, oh, this is just a nice breath of fresh air. There are real big problems, and there still are, with like video games at large. And in a weird way, Untitled Goose Game was kind of a fuck you to AAA game development in general. And I thought that's what most of the reasons were at the time. After playing this, I'm like, no, there's more to it than that. There's something actually here.
Yeah, there were. I was reading on Wikipedia that they were going for. They were trying to make a stealth game that was not violent. You know, typically in some of the most famous stealth games like Metal Gear Solid or Splinter Cell, like you're trying to figure out a way to kill people without other people knowing, and then like you've like stashed the body somewhere, like in Hitman. Also, that's another big famous one. But this one, it's like, oh no, this is a stealth game where you still are trying to steal stuff without being seen, or you're trying to wreak havoc in the area without someone noticing. It's just not violent, but it is still a stealth game. And I didn't get it when I would hear people talk about it, where they'd say it's a stealth game. I'd be like, what are you talking about? This is, it's the Goose Game. Like, it's not stealthy. What, how does this work? But it is a stealth puzzle game where you just aren't killing anyone. And I love that. And I think other people did too. Zach, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think when people think of Game of the Years, like that name, people just think of massive games with huge budgets. And I think what this game does that a lot of games don't is the time for enjoyment, like ratio, is as streamlined as it could possibly get. There is no filler. There's no extra. It's just the game. It's fairly unique in what it does. The controls are really tight, and it's really just a lot of fun. Like, you just get to be like this devious goose stealing stuff. There's not much thought that you require, but you're just having fun. Mm-hmm. You're smiling the whole time. You're just enjoying yourself. And it doesn't take you 50, 60, 70 hours to finish it. It takes you one or two. Like, you know, if your first time through, it might take you longer, but that's something that I think gets lost a lot now in games, is that people think that we're getting more modern. We need more features. We need more blah. It's like, you can actually just go back to a game like the oldest games. They were so simple, which is why people liked them. It did the thing really well, and that's what this one does. It doesn't have any of that extra fat. They just trimmed it down.
Yeah, and they really distilled down what it was that they were trying to do, and they didn't throw anything in here that was half baked. Like, mm-hmm. this is all purposeful and meant to be there. Even like some of the stuff that is peppered around the town that doesn't seem like it has a purpose, it actually does, because once you do deliver that bell back to your home, the game opens up even more and gives you like another two checklists to complete. And some of these are very interesting puzzles in themselves, where like one of the tasks says to figure out how to get someone not on High Street to buy back their own stuff. So you have to, like, the easiest way to do that I found was to steal something from the garden and like make sure the gardener saw me steal it and chased me out into High Street and then leave it in the shop. But also make sure that the shopkeeper doesn't see me leave it there. So then she knows that like this is, or she thinks that like the gardener's shovel is something that he needs to just take, and he can't just take it. Like, he has to buy it. That's like one of the more fascinating things. Another one was like collect like five flowers from around the town and leave them in the flower basket. So, you know, there were like various flowers that you could interact with. Like, we mentioned the tulip in the garden. In the back gardens, there's the prized rose. Like, if you end up stealing all that stuff and bring it to the flower basket, then you get another trophy. You get a task completed on this extra list. But there are five flowers around this area, and you probably didn't notice them because they weren't part of your original task list. So the game opens up even more. And again, like, this list, these secondary lists are not filler. They feel like just like additional puzzles for you to play around with. And because the game is so short, it's like, oh, there's even more to this that I didn't get to see. So I can still have fun with this game, even though I finished it.
Yeah. I didn't actually do the extra challenges.
Oh, no. Like, they're a ton of fun. go do them.
But I think that was mostly because I did actually, I kind of had my feel. And I also kind of had my feel with puzzles. And we'll get on to as to why that is in a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I've overall, yeah, I did enjoy this game quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It is very short. It is the perfect game for the PlayStation Plus package, because as great as it is, unless if you can get it for super, super cheap, it is a hard sell for like something that's $20. I don't know how much the original price is, but it is a short game for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that leads me to ask, who do you think should try Untitled Goose Game? Like, who is this game for? Who do you recommend it to?
I don't know who you not recommend it to. It's kind of an everybody game. Unless if someone just is like very, oh, I don't want to pick on anyone. I mean, like your wife even said, I never get to be the bully. And this game makes it fun to be the bully.
Just as a disclaimer, everybody listening and both of you guys here, she is not malicious. She also doesn't really, she doesn't like want to harm people. It was just that like, oh, she knows that like this kid is not real. So this gives her the chance to just like bring out that little evil side that every one of us has.
Yeah, well, that's kind of my point. Because like, I don't think anyone's listening to be like, I bet Kevin's wife is so evil. Oh boy.
No.
I bet she puts salt in her cookies. She is so evil.
Hey, like actually, like that's a key ingredient to a good chocolate chip cookie. Not too much, just a little bit. But Zach, like what about you? Like who should try this game?
Yeah, I think like Jordan said, it's on PS Plus, obviously, because it's on the show, and it's so short and fun that I think it can be tried by anyone. I know a lot of people, like in our Discords that we're in, people play a lot of longer games, and people often talk about wanting something shorter in between. And this is like the perfect game just to kind of reset. You know, it's kind of like the walk home between work jobs. You know, it's that kind of thing where like,
yeah,
you've got this long thing, you know another long thing's coming because you want to do that next. And this takes a day. You play it for a day. It stays on your mind because it was fun, but it just gives you something and you finish with it and it's done, 100% done, and you don't have to go back to it again. So it's kind of like the perfect short weekend game. Or if you're trying to get someone into playing games, like your wife, you know, if someone has someone that they want to play a game with, be like, just have a go at this. Like, it's so easy. The controls are simple. It's clever. It's funny. Yeah, I think most people could get something out of it.
Oh, yeah. This is a good gateway drug.
I definitely, like, I know that my niece's 11-year-old birthday is coming up, and this is a game that I'm thinking, like, should she enjoy this? Like, she might enjoy this, but I want to get her over to my house to show it to her first, and, like, see if she likes it before I gift it to her. Also, like, I feel like this, as you were saying, this is a great game to show somebody that's just kind of like, oh, like, I haven't seen a video game in 20 years. Like, what are they like now? And you can show them Call of Duty, or you can show them Grand Theft Auto and say that, like, well, this is how big and expansive they are. This is what they can do now. But also take a look at this, because they can also be an art piece and have something simple to say and do. And I love this one. I would definitely show this to somebody asking that question alongside something like Flower. Just to say that, like, well, games are big and like huge blockbusters now, but they also do indie stuff that is very quaint and unique.
Yeah, there's definitely a place for games of all lengths. Like, there's places for games that are 100 hours. There's places for games that are 2 or 3 hours. They all have the place. And again, like, because it's on PS Plus, it's effectively free. I know we pay for the subscription, but being free and being a couple of hours, it's like watching a film. You know, like, it's not hard to get someone to watch a film because you're like, it's only 2 hours. You watch it and you've seen it. It's like this. Yeah. You play this, 2 hours, you're done. You've either played it enough that you don't want to play anymore, or you've completely finished it and you get what you want out of it. So it feels like a really easy buy-in.
Honestly, I got to say that, like, this game was some of the best 3 hours that I spent last week. Like, it was a ton of fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
Thinking about, like, how much fun you had with this game and causing all sorts of chaos, what are some other great chaos sandbox kinds of games that you would recommend, like Untitled Goose Game?
I feel like that's quite a difficult question. Yeah, I mean, yeah. This game is quite unique because it is you're playing as a bird, which is uncommon. If I had to think of, like, the words chaos sandbox to me, like, it kind of goes in two directions. There's kind of like you're saying about Grand Theft Auto or like Just Cause, you know, open world, you can do what you want, destroy things. Mm-hmm. But the one I thought that was kind of the closest to me, it is quite, it's not that close, but it's still kind of similar, is Teardown. Like, I know it's on the service, and basically you have a task to do, same as this game, and how you do it is kind of up to you. You can do it the kind of the straightforward way, you know, you're trying to get something out of a safe here, you can blow the door off and then you run, or you can kind of set up an elaborate thing where you drive a vehicle here, move that there. So it's kind of similar in terms of you can make a lot of mess if you want to. You can kind of be untidy and get things done, which is quite fun. And same with this game, you know, you can be not quiet, honking around and still get the job done in a fun way, but you can also do it really smooth, clean, like, no one saw me, I'm the hidden goose, you know.
Yeah.
That game kind of has a similar thing where it's like, you've got a task to do or multiple tasks. You can do it tidy, you can do it without minimal damage, you can do it really, like, clinical, or you can just be like, everything's getting destroyed so that I can get this one thing done. So I think people should check that game out. It's definitely different. It's not in terms of the same way it plays, but it is kind of scratched that itch in terms of trying to think of creative solutions to problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan, how about you? Could you think of any like sandbox kind of games that are a lot like this?
When it comes to sandbox games, even though I haven't played it, I've seen enough of it that I'm like, I think the closest you might get to this game is Goat Simulator.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. Goat Simulator. It's like you're just causing chaos everywhere, doing random things that no one would think to do, but somehow, like, they're on a list of things for you to do and puzzles for you to solve, a lot like this.
And if you want the other type of chaos that are just simply screw the rules, it's hard to, it's no other way to bring this into comparison otherwise, but I would say the Stanley Parable, that's a game that is all about screwing the rules.
Okay. Okay. That's on my list of, like, curious list of games to play.
Okay, then I won't say any more.
Okay. No, I don't know anything about it, but I'm, like, curious about it, so.
That's a good place to start.
That's also, yeah, that's also on PS Plus right now, so you can check that out. And other short games that I'd recommend, like this, like Superliminal was one that came to mind, where you could finish that in an hour, and it's just an experience for you to go through. Daryl Fuimano was on here, I think it was last year, that we were talking about that game. So I don't think it's on PlayStation Plus Extra anymore, but go pick it up. or download it if you're curious about it. It is an excellent, like, 1 to 2 hour puzzle game that was pretty fascinating, and again, like, a great experience for just a weekend. As Zach, you were saying, like, the walk home from work, or like, kind of game, or a good palate cleanser that you need, like, after a really long kind of game. But is there anything else that you're reading, watching, or playing right now that you'd want to recommend other people check out?
I don't do a lot of reading in my spare time, which I would like to, but I don't really, but or watching stuff. But I have been playing a certain game, which I know I'm going to be talking about a lot going forward, like probably the rest of my life, and that's Clair Obscur, Expedition 33.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say too much because it is new, but I can easily see this being my favorite game of all time. Like, I'm quite far through it, and it is just incredible. Like, 10 out of 10 worthy for me. It's everything it does is perfect. I think it is a game that's made for me because it is an RPG. It is a turn-based RPG, but it also has different elements inside of that. But it's just everything's so fleshed out. And the crazy thing is that it's this company's first game, which is outrageous. But it's such an exciting place where you get a game that just, it's everything you've wanted and want. And yeah, I don't know how long it's going to take me to do everything, but I'm going to do everything. And I'm going to be talking about it a lot. I know me and Max will cover it in the Moodcast at some point, but it's, 10 out of 10.
It's one of those games where I hear everyone that I talk to talk about it. And it's a point at which, like, I know I'm going to play it at some point. I don't know when, but I'm going to play that game.
It was like one of those things where at the start of the year, you see all the games that are coming out, and you kind of, like, with me, I don't have, like, the biggest budget for games. I do that so I can play things that are in my backlog. But I was deciding, like, what are the games I'm going to buy this year? And that was so close to not being bought. Like, not because I don't look at much on games before they come out. I was like, do I want to play it? I think so, but can I play it later on? Yeah. And then I think it was maybe, like, a month before. I think me and Max were just talking about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I just have to play it. And I'm so glad I did. Yeah. I'm so glad I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like every time I saw something that was previewing that game, I just thought to myself, this looks incredible. It doesn't look like my kind of game, but it still looks amazing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like more and more I think about it, the more and more I should probably check it out. Because even though I'm not really into turn-based kind of games, I can still appreciate them and appreciate what they're doing. And this one does it in such a unique way that it's not just turn-based stuff. Like, it gives you things to do while you're watching your character take their turn. And I really like the idea of that. So I'm going to check it out at some point. I know that there are, like, a bunch of other games that I want to finish first, but yeah, that's on my list. Jordan, how about you? Like, is there anything you're reading, watching, or playing that you think people want to check out?
That too is also on my list. And man, the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, I really want to play this game. But with the Switch 2 coming out and financial issues, I can't afford it right yet. However, luckily, I had PlayStation Plus to tide me over, and there are two games that came out. Guys, have you ever heard of this game called The Blue Prince?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
I need to play that, too. Yeah.
This is the other one that everyone's talking about is, like, the hit of the year. And I feel like if I give myself the chance to check it out, I'm going to get lost in it. Very much like the Outer Wilds. Like, it is going to become one of my favorite games of the decade. And I know it's amazing, but I just haven't had the chance to try it.
Do not try this game until you have a lot of free time. I'm not kidding. I had to put it down because I kind of got stuck in one area. And I can't explain why, because it will take me an hour to explain how I got stuck.
Okay.
But okay. I had to put it down for now because I'm like, I'm kind of puzzled out. There are a shit ton of puzzles in this game. Mm-hmm. I am not kidding. You will need some form to take actual notes in. Mm-hmm. Unless if you just cheese it and look solutions up online. Also, I'll take a moment to say, if you do play this game and something is stumping you, don't feel ashamed to look up an answer or two. Because that might give you the incentive to go, what are they asking for me later on? Huh. For anyways, Blueprints is about kid inherits dead uncle's wealthy mansion, and it's like a board game mixed with a video game where you build the mansion each day after day, and each room is different, and you're looking for the 46th room, and how you come across it will slowly unravel itself in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the name of this game is The Blue Prince, as in royalty, but Blue Prince for building this house.
Correct.
I love the double entendre there.
It's so good. Yeah. And there are so many mysteries in this house. And the funny thing about this house is I haven't finished it, but I've done so much of the side stuff that I might as well have. There are, oh, man. If you actually finish the game, you can keep playing it and have a plethora of mysteries to unsolve.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling. I think this was only made by one guy. I'm not entirely sure. I do know the team is at least small.
Yeah.
And it took the guy 8 years to make this game, but holy crap, totally worth it.
Okay.
The other game I got from PlayStation Plus, and I did finish, and I think, Kevin, we got to talk about this game. The Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown.
Oh, well, you're in luck. That's coming up.
Oh, my God. Zach, have you played Prince of Persia?
I've played the older Prince of Persia. I haven't played this one, but it's on my list. Once I get through my backlog story project, then I'll have another project, which will be stories of games that I have yet to start. So yeah, this is definitely involved in that. So it's coming up very fast. I really want to play this game.
I think past viewers will know I've talked about Metroidvanias a lot. This is in my top five best Metroidvanias of all time. This is up there with Symphony of the Night, Super Metroid, and Hollow Knight. It is so good. And one of the things that makes this game awesome, even though we'll go into a deep dive some other day, is the combat. The combat is simple to do, but it's like watching a martial arts movie. It flows so well. I love how the main character just flows into combat. And it takes lots of parrying and dodging mechanics. And you get certain items that will help a special build. The map is large. It is beautiful. The story's actually intriguing with some twists and turns. When people said, hey, I know this is a Metroidvania, and you guys played a bunch of those, this stands out.
Okay.
Can't wait to talk to you more about it.
No, we are going to talk about it very soon. It's coming up. As soon as it was announced that it was coming to PlayStation Plus, I was like, when do we have a free month? Because we are going to play this game. So, we're talking about it. Don't worry about that.
Just one last quick note for those who are about to pick up the game. If you are kind of skilled in things of simple combat combos and parrying and dodging, I started this and I played all the way through it through the second hardest difficulty. Not the hardest, but just the one right below it. Still had a great time, and I rarely do that. I usually do games on normal, but this was kind of a perfect challenge. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's another thing that I really like about Hollow Knight is how much of a challenge it is. So I'm looking forward to this one. But it is not going to be next month, because next month we are going to have a Discord voted game that we're going to be playing. And that is going to be Cult of the Lamb. This was one of the other games that tied for first place back in March. And so, Zach, you and I decided like, oh, let's throw this game back into the vote for the June game. And turned out like that's what the majority of people voted for. So we're going to be playing Cult of the Lamb in June. You know, hope you guys, anyone listening here, is going to play along with us. Again, you can post your plat shout out in the Discord along with any comments or questions you have regarding the game. And like that one's going to be fun. Either one of you guys played Cult of the Lamb yet?
You actually asked me what game should we play, and I put this on the list because I haven't played it yet. And you're like, March or May is a really tight month. How about a lesser game? I went, whose game it is?
Yeah. But no, we're going to be playing Cult of the Lamb. So your recommendation came through. And
all right.
It was.
It's for the greater good.
I think I'm going to find out what that means coming up. And I'm a little scared.
Go watch Hot Fuzz. That's all I have to say. That's where it's from. But that involves a cult. So
Yeah. So if you're interested in getting involved with the Discord, you can search for the Trophy Talk Network on Discord and find us there. You can also subscribe to the Trophy Talk Network on Patreon, and that way you can vote on future games that we might cover or recommend games to then be part of the show here. And you can also find out more information about the other shows in the Trophy Talk Network on that Discord, those being, again, the Trophy Talk Podcast, the MoogleCast, and Surviving the Horror. And you can find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin, if that's the way you'd like to contact the show. Jordan, where can people find you if they are looking for you?
You can't.
That's fine.
There's things in the works, irons in the fire, but for right now, you can't find me. I mean, if you find me on the Discord, go ahead and shoot a message. I don't care. I'll reply back. I'm always super friendly. But nowhere really to actually reach me.
Yeah. Okay. And Zach, how about you?
Yeah. So like you said earlier, I'm part of the Trophy Talk Network as part of the MoogleCast. So you can find us on the Discord there. You can also find me on PlayStation and Discord under Zach LRE.
Yeah. And again, thank you both for encouraging me to play the Untitled Goose Game. I had a lot of fun with it, and especially had a lot of fun talking with you guys about all the shenanigans we got into. It's been a great episode. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, honk. Appreciate you having me, as always.
I just hear a single honk from Zach. Thank you.
Got to end with a honk, man.
Yeah, honk. Yeah. Why not? And honk. Just go out like that. But again, thank you all for listening as well. I hope you have a great day, and
Alright,